Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
Girl.
I'm back from the Hawaii.
Hawaii.
I got off the plane and I got laid.
You you know, usually if Steve were here, he would have bogarted that dad joke.
Yeah. Or like the eye roll for days.
You do look sun-kissed, though.
Thank you, girl.
To say, gorgeous, as always, though. But I mean, come on,
God,
who am I kidding?
The best.
Thanks.
Jillian Pensavalle.
Patrick Hines.
Banana. Guys, before we get to the show, come see us live. Come to our pride show.
Please.
Listen, these tickets are going fast. They're almost gone.
Oh, my God.
I know. Almost all of the floor seats are gone. You guys, June 29th, we're covering the definitive Stonewall documentary called Stonewall Uprising. It's the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. I'm going to be a mess, but in a good way.
Yeah, and you guys, like, that day is the 50th.
It's that very day.
This is not hyperbole. It's
no.
Not like, it's not the year. It's
right.
Like the
it's
day.
It's the very day.
Like, to the minute.
It's going to be insane. Special guests. We got the drag queens. We got the comic to open for us.
Yeah.
My amazing sister's going to be there. Did I tell you that she's done like 6 tours between Afghanistan, Iraq, and Africa?
I love her. I just...
6 tours with the military, I should say. Not like dancing for Beyonce.
Right. No. I love her already. I just want her to like...
She's going to love you.
Okay, great.
She's going to love you. You guys, the Patreon. If you want more of us, if you want to binge like 80 episodes right away...
I mean, at least 80.
At least. We're talking episode by episode coverage of The Jinx, Serial, Making a Murderer, The Staircase.
We have at least 20 episodes of Making a Murderer.
Yes, I know. It's true.
So when you think about it that way, there's at least 80. 80 sounds like we're lowballing them.
Yeah. No, you guys, you can't. You just can't beat it. And lastly, you guys, our contest, don't forget, rate us 5 stars on iTunes, write at least 1 sentence about what you love, include your Instagram handle or your Twitter handle, and we are giving away our original garbage bell.
Very, very, very first one that doesn't necessarily bell as much as
no,
she did.
No, she needs
as
a good
a
home.
Now.
Yeah. You guys have to foster the bell.
Yes, exactly. She's going up to the farm.
On May 15th, we're going to gather our top 100 favorite 5-star reviews, and we're going to put them all in a hat, and we're going to pull one out, and that person's going to be the recipient of our very first garbage bell.
Yeah. I have one announcement.
Oh, girl, yes. Tell the people.
Okay, so you guys know Super Hot Husband Mike.
Of course.
If you've been to any of the live shows, you've seen him. He's amazing and super hot and super funny. So he has a podcast. It's called Ted and Michael Read Sketches into Microphones. Their first episode came out today.
I listened to it.
It's super funny and super weird and like not safe for work and crazy and bizarre. Like this is remember when I was telling you about the Werner Herzog interview Steve Zahn?
I think about it all the time.
It's in episode 1.
Yeah.
So I produce it. It's so amazing. I'm just so proud of him. So it's out now. Like go subscribe and it's TedandMichael.com and they're at Ted and Michael on all the things. And
what's it called again?
It's called Ted and Michael Read Sketches into Microphones. It's very, very clear. That the title of it is the clearest about it. Because
totally.
Then you're like, what sketch am I getting next? And it's like, you guys were just all along for this ride together. But Ted and Mike worked super, super hard on it. And I'm just really proud of them. And it's funny and weird. And you guys are funny and weird. So
yeah. Get
into it.
You're going to love that. Girl, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about Southwest of Salem.
This one was a doozy.
It was a doozy for a lot of reasons.
Yeah, yes. I really loved this documentary.
I did too. And I think it was a doozy for me because we are just coming off of, again, drink if I've said it, 20 episodes of Making a Murderer.
20 episodes.
So a lot of this felt rushed to me, but I feel
right.
Like maybe if you're watching it for the first time, it doesn't feel rushed
no,
at
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
But Southwest of Salem, it's called the Story of the San Antonio Four. It's very much like the West Memphis Three, the Central Park Five.
Oh, yeah.
They're using that term to try to stir up some awareness for the case.
Yes.
Satanic cults. Satanic ritual abuse has become the fastest growing and most controversial psychological phenomenon in the country. It's a modern twist to an ancient story.
Investigated their world of covens and sacrifices.
This case is probably the last gasp of the satanic ritual abuse panic. Alex allegations were made that four young women had gang raped these two little girls.
My attorney said that I would lose. Nobody wants to go against a child.
The whole scenario sounds like a porn movie, a man's version of what women do in their spare time.
They got on the bed and they started touching me. What did they say? They were silent. It's too bizarre. It's almost dreamlike. The case, it went off track in about every way you could.
According to the people in court, this is what gay people do. No.
Forget about it. A little kiss.
If this was an easy case, someone would have snapped it up a long time ago.
These are people's lives.
How did this get past the media, the jury, the appeals process, their defense lawyers?
Until we get the exoneration, we won't actually be freed of any of this.
The modern version of the witchcraft trials.
Okay, you guys, so Southwest of Salem, by the way, which is like one of our most requested documentaries.
Yes.
It's about four lesbian women from Texas.
San Antonio,
who are like accused of a horrendously heinous crime.
Yeah, truly heinous.
Yeah, heinous is a weird word for me to say. It felt weird coming out of my mouth.
Have you not watched Law and Order SVU? Because that's in the beginning of every episode. Crimes heinous. That are considered especially heinous.
That's so weird.
To investigate these felonies, they call in an elite squad known as the Special Victims Unit. These are their stories. Ba-bum.
So it opens with like real shaky, like home video footage from like the year 2000. We don't really know where we are or what we're doing. It looks like we're walking into a courthouse.
Right.
But then cut to like an interview with this woman named Anna Vasquez.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I did not know this story at all. I didn't know if they were good, if they had done it, if they were bad, if they went to jail, if they didn't. I'm watching this part of the documentary for 1 minute. I was like, where are we? We're in jail.
You didn't get that she was in prison with the white jumpsuit and
No.
Like, because... it's like where Miss Kitty was.
Yes.
I've always wondered where the story that they came up with actually came from. You know, where did it all begin? And I wish I had an answer for you, but I really don't. All I can do is speculate.
So Anna Vasquez, she's 37 today when we meet her, present day in the documentary. She's born and raised in San Antonio, Texas. And she tells us she came out to her mother at around 18.
Yes.
And she describes, like, it's really hard to be gay, number one, and also a gay woman in a conservative place like San Antonio. So Anna's a badass. All these women are badasses.
Yes, totally.
Like self-sufficient, independent, tough, strong, smart women.
But also, like, they also all feel so warm to me.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
That's why I look at them and I'm like, I know I should... Facebook come for me. But it's like, you look at them and you're like, they didn't do this thing.
No, yeah, 100%.
They just didn't.
They're the kind of ladies that like introduce themselves with a hug, not a handshake. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah. And it's like, I never want to give up this hug.
I know.
It's a warm hug. Like, you can lean into it. And very it's cozy.
Sturdy.
They smell really, really good. It's like a Rabia hug. You're just like, I don't want to go. Don't leave me.
Yeah.
But we learned about Anna. Like, she dropped out of college because she couldn't afford it. It doesn't mean she wasn't going to go back. She was going to like work and get the money and then go back.
Excuse you. Where did she work? Little Caesars. Little Caesars is my favorite pizza. I don't care that I live in New York. Little Caesars is my favorite.
Well, you have to have ranch on it.
When she said, the mom's like, she went to work at Little Caesars to make money. And I was like, and because the food is delicious.
And then you were like, pizza.
Right.
So while Anna was at work at Little Caesars,
yeah,
she meets Cassie.
Cassie, who is so beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
And Cassie had just left her ex-husband. She had two kids who were really, really young.
Yeah.
And there was a spark.
Since we were in San Antonio, we would go to the carnivals. And we all decided to go. And that night, we were just stuck to each other. That's what started our relationship. She kissed me that night and it was over.
And Anna and Cassie, like, were off and running. They felt like they were at one together. There's this beautiful footage of them on the beach.
Oh, they're putting, like, suntan lotion on each other and not, like, in the gross couple-y way.
So they fall in love. They move in together with Cassie's kids.
Yeah, and Anna has this whole thing about how, like, I wasn't really ready for it, but I rose to the challenge.
I'm super in love.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll raise these kids. So then we meet Liz. So Liz becomes Cassie and Anna, who are a couple. Like, they're home away from home.
Right.
My mom, when she found out that me and Anna were in a relationship, she wasn't happy about it, you know? So our families are very Catholic. They're very religious.
Well, my mom, you know, she called me a lot of ugly names.
And that was hard.
And as far as my family accepting, I couldn't go home and be who I was. So we ended up spending a lot of time with Liz at her apartment.
So they're always hanging out at Liz's house. We're going to get back to Liz in a little bit, but yeah. We have to meet Christy first. Because Christy was also part of this friend crew. She dated Liz for a little while. They all knew each other in high school. They were on the basketball team, the volleyball yes. team. Like, they all went to high school. They were just, like, listen, thick as thieves.
I went to, like, what are the chances of four lesbians going to the same high school at the
in
same time?
In San Antonio, time? Texas.
I know. Those odds are...
That's the dream, isn't it? My goodness. So a little bit more about Liz, right? Liz was the home away from home. Liz is pregnant, and Javier, just a little foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Javier is Liz's sister named Rosemary.
Yeah.
Rosemary's ex-husband.
Right.
At this point. Javier was super hitting on Liz, inappropriately writing her all these notes.
When
trying
she's
to feel
16
her
years
up.
Old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. For, yeah. So since she was 16, like up through her pregnancy.
Right.
Javier is a dirtbag.
He's a dirtbag. And so Liz had been dating women, and then she gets pregnant, and then Javier swoops in, having divorced her sister.
Right.
And at that time, he was like, you know, I can take care of him. I was like, no, the baby has a father. And that's when he asked me, well, why don't you just let me marry you and take care of you? And I was like, no. You know, for one, I didn't grow up that way. You know, I had morals and values. And that was my sister's ex-husband. And what would I look like doing anything like that?
Yeah, she's like, what? But where it's like W-U-T, yeah. What? That's Liz about Javier. Like, what? So then one day, garbage Javier brings his two daughters, who are Liz's nieces, to her house.
Yeah.
And at this point, our four heroes are there.
Right. The four women are there. And these daughters, Liz's nieces, we're going to be with them for a week.
Right.
I've always been family oriented. I think family is very important. So I've always supported everyone in my family or been around them or anything. So they were a part of that. You know, it was a normal, natural family thing. You go pick up your nephews and nieces and you know, hang out. They stay with you. Things like that. It's a normal life.
Just imagine, like, four warm, young, fun lesbians just, like, being your cool aunties for a week. That's what it was. And like, they were all taking turns, like taking care of the kids and feeding the kids. There's all these home videos of them just like playing and goofing around. Like, they were having the best time.
Right.
So this is where things start to go crazy.
Yeah. We meet Debbie Nathan.
Yeah.
From the National Center for Reason.
Right.
And Justice.
And she's with us throughout. She's very, very smart. And she tells us this.
A couple of months after these little girls had spent a week, allegations were made that the four young women had gang raped these two little girls over a period of 2 days.
So then Anna gets a call, like right around the same time, from one of the detectives. And she's like, what?
Yeah. Ellipsis. What? Yeah. And then he also talks to Liz. Then it's like 5, 6, 7, 8. All four women are being accused. All four of our girls are accused. And of course, like these women, because it's so insane that they would even be accused of anything horrible.
Right.
They do the thing
where
it's like, well, you know, I didn't do anything. Of course I'll talk to the cops.
You guys, nobody do this. Look, everybody get a goddamn lawyer.
And we have been dragged a little in the Facebook group about us saying, like, if you didn't do anything, talk to the cops. We don't say talk to a cops without a lawyer.
Right.
Maybe we should specify.
Yes.
We're doing it this minute.
Yes, 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 yes.
Get a lawyer.
You believe as you're growing up that if you tell the truth, everything's going to be fine. You know? A couple people told me you need an attorney. Why would I need an attorney? I'm innocent. There's nothing, you know, that ever happened. So I went ahead and cooperated with them, and it seemed to turn out to be a mistake, the biggest mistake, you know? I cooperated fully, and it seems like I just dug deeper.
So Liz, the aunt of these two little girls who are supposedly accusing these four women of assaulting them, she gives birth to her little boy.
Yes.
3 days later, they arrest her. And her lawyer sucked. Her lawyer at the time was like, I don't have any plans. I think it's just going to be you and the three of them.
Right. So they split them up. They try Liz on her own. And then Anna, Cassie, and Chrissy are all tried together.
Right. And like, throwback to West of Memphis, like, Damien had his own trial because he was the, quote, ringleader.
Right. That's
and
right.
And then Jesse and Jason had their own. They do this all the time.
And, you know, Anna tells us that, like, my lawyer said to my face,
he said I would lose because of the charges
the charges. Nobody wants to go against a child. But he said that I would fight. He's like, I will fight for you if that's what you choose to do. So we fought.
And that's where it gets murky, right? Because if little girls say this to you, it's like you believe victims, right? And that's totally valid. It's like this is like the worst circle of hell I could even imagine.
I know.
Where it's like they didn't do it, there was no crime committed, but how do you like refuse these little girls? Like it's horrible.
And then especially when they get the girls to testify, Anna, even now, all these years later, is looking at the camera like, I couldn't believe what I was hearing.
I was baffled. I couldn't believe it. They said that they were screaming and that we were inserting objects in them, and the things that they say we did. I just can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, and Liz especially is just like, they're my family.
Right.
We were taking care of them, and like some of us had were mothers already. Like this was not even gonna happen.
Right.
And then we get to jury selection. So we learned it was hard to find jurors who weren't homophobic, boo-hoo. And the DA, of course, wasn't supposed to bring up their sexuality or what they did in their personal lives.
Right.
But of course he did.
Of course.
Because stupid men.
Right. They describe them as gay, sexual, lesbian relationships.
Ooh.
Guys, it's a lot of words.
We get it. Like,
right.
Also, I accept.
Right.
That should be the answer always.
Right, exactly.
I don't care what you do as long as it's consensual. I don't give a hoot. And also if they're human.
And of legal age.
Right, legal age and human.
There's a couple of, like, let's just check all the, like, let's just
I know,
check
I,
the
I'm
three
so,
boxes.
I'm so mad. I'm like, I don't care. But wait, pulling myself back. Sitting down, grounding myself 2 feet on the floor. Yes. Consensual age to humans who say, you're into this? Yeah. I'm into this? Yes. What's the safe word? Pineapple? Great. We got this. I don't give a hoot.
Not a hoot?
Not a single solitary hoot. You guys do you. But don't give me junk science.
No.
Don't give me junk science. You guys, I love science. I won't stand for it. I'm like a Patrick octaves.
Ooh, welcome. Welcome.
It's hard to be up here.
I know, but
I'm
going to
be tired tomorrow. It's different from Ken Kranz. It feels nice up here.
It's called a whistle register.
I don't know how you stand this all day.
I just laughed so hard my ab worked.
Ooh.
My single ab.
You're going
to
feel that tomorrow.
I know. She's like, I've been sleeping. Leave me out of this.
Where's my club?
Right. I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.
So this is where we get the fact that the only evidence against the women was the testimony of the little girls, but there was also, like, some, quote, physical evidence.
This?
Yeah, I know.
This is a through line, because this physical evidence comes back.
Right. What happened was these girls were examined by a doctor mm-hmm. who said that their genitals showed signs of sexual abuse.
Right.
Which we'll get back to.
Right.
But that's, like, our expert friend Debbie tells us that the jury probably would not have been able to convict them without this, quote, physical evidence.
Right, because as our friends are saying, like, the testimony of these, and you know, it's Stephanie, age 10, testifies.
Right.
And Vanessa, age 12 going on 13, testifies.
Right.
The testimony that was given was off the wall. You know, it was one gun here, three guns there. Then there was a knife involved. There was so many mistakes.
So there's someone who shows up, another amazing woman expert.
Yeah.
Who's just like, if you took the little girls out of it, Stephanie and Vanessa, it would just be some really poorly written, like, fanfic.
Right.
That, like, some straight dude yeah. wrote about, like, what it's like when, like, four lesbian best friends get together.
Right.
And it's like, really what they were trying to do is, like, have a life and have a safe space that was full of love
and raise
and
these goddamn children.
Totally. All of a sudden, cut to, like, they're all found guilty. Liz is found guilty for 37.5 years because she was tried separate
right.
from the other three.
Yeah.
And then the other three are sentenced to 15 years. Anna, Christy, and Cassie.
They were also, by the way, offered a plea deal that they declined to take.
Because after Liz was convicted, they were like, fuck this, dude. Yeah. We're standing together. This never happened. And yep. that's amazing. So here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
So Liz, who was sentenced to 35 and a half years,
yes.
she's in prison. For whatever reason, I don't know how or why, but Anna, Christy, and Cassie, who were sentenced to 15 years, are like out on bail.
Yeah, they're like out on appeal. For some reason, like while they're appealing this case, they're out. They're not, they don't have to go to jail yet.
But and while Liz is in prison,
yes.
these three women.
The lesbian Nancy Drews!
They are taking it to the goddamn streets.
They're like, no one was gonna help us. We had to help ourselves. They are investigating.
Ooh, hero bell. So they, and this is where we get that shaky camera.
Yeah.
Because they actually went back to the apartments where this crime supposedly took place.
But the apartments are gone. They've right. been torn down. They meet this like weird random hippie who I swear wandered away from the Rajneeshis.
Yeah, totally. I was just like, what? But ellipsis, what? But he happened to have lived there
right.
in the same apartments. So, but they have on camera, like, I don't know who it is. We don't know whose voice it is, but it's one of our girls saying, like, so how thin were the walls? And he's like, oh, dude, super thin. Like, you could hear everything.
Did you hear activities that were going on next door to you?
Yeah.
As far as in your heart? Was it really loud? Or
yeah.
You could hear everything?
You could hear everything. The walls were thin.
They were bigger than. Okay. So if somebody was screaming next door to you, you would know?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if someone was, like, screaming and being tortured and sexually assaulted, right. like, do you think anyone would hear it? And he was like, bro, what? Like, totally. Like, what do you want? Like, should I have agreed to be on camera for
right.
this? Like, why are you asking me this?
But then they also ask him about the placement of the locks on the door, because
right.
one of the girls said that they had locked the door and the door lock was so high that they couldn't reach it. And without any prompting, the guy's like, oh, no, it's like at your belly button.
He makes a point to say, like, you didn't have to raise your arm up to open the lock.
Right,
like,
right, right.
They're doing their best, but knowing that there's a ticking clock, like, they're going to prison.
It's also so tragic because they're saying that, like, we were also trying to spend time with our families.
Right.
And then, like, trying to say to our kids, like, I'm going to have to go away.
They were very young, but I would still tell them that there was a possibility that I was leaving, you know, and that they would have to stay with my mom. Well, my kids were very, very close to Anna as well. They asked if they could stay with her. She was coming too, so I had to explain that to them.
It was brutal watching
right.
this. And then, you guys, they turn themselves in on the day that, like, today's the day they're going to jail.
Right.
I was hysterically
yeah,
crying.
Totally.
You hear Anna has a letter that she wrote to Cassie.
My dearest Cass, I leave you now for the next 13 years to suffer in a cage, to conform to the codes and rules of prison life, to feel fear every day. I leave you, Cass, sweet and innocent. And soon, you, fueled with rage, will change. We've been devastated, my love. I'm sorry that I won't be there to protect you inside these prison walls.
And then you see them, like, turning around and getting the handcuffs put on. You know, it was like in the 54 episode where they were talking about how, like, they just weren't emotionally prepared for jail.
Totally.
These women obviously have no idea what's about to happen to them.
Yeah.
And we find out later in the documentary, it's so heartbreaking, inmates can't write letters to each other.
I screamed.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Me either. So, like, Anna and Cassie cannot communicate.
You guys, remember the Satanic Panic that doesn't exist?
Yeah. Here we go.
Breaking news. It's back again. Here's a bullshit news story about something that doesn't exist. And guess what? Diane Sawyer's involved for whatever fucking reason. She fell for it too. Tom? It's been a while.
It's been too long. 5 minutes is too long.
I know.
Satanic cults. Satanic ritual abuse has become the fastest growing and most controversial psychological phenomenon in the country. It's a modern twist to an ancient story.
Kaedler investigated their world of covens and sacrifices.
The satanic panic is a real thing.
Yeah.
But this idea of this like international global satanic cult is not a real thing.
And Debbie just lays it out. She's like this, and she even says, I know this sounds absurd. They really believe this in the 90s.
So here's what like Debbie explains is that like they would, this cult that doesn't exist.
Right. It's not a real thing.
Would infiltrate daycare centers all around the world to not only horribly abuse, but brainwash children to be like, hey, girl, I'll see you when you're 18.
Yeah, yeah.
And then snap their fingers. And then find the kids when they were 18 and then snap the fingers again and be like, 5, 6, 7, 8 in a cult.
Right.
And then the person who was old enough to realize that I should be in a cult now blindly walk to like the fucking Slender Mansion. Right. That kind of insanity that they were just like, what? Okay, 5, 6, 7, 8, here I go.
Yes.
Like, and Debbie's like,
as completely insane as this sounds, this belief got into child protection services, it got into police departments, it got into psychotherapy, it got into DA's offices. Scores of people were convicted who were just working in daycare centers and preschools on the basis of no conventional evidence whatsoever.
But what we learn also is that this was disproportionately affecting the LGBT people.
Right.
It happened in Massachusetts as like their big example. This kid worked at a daycare. When he turned about 18, he came out to his friends and family. The parents of the kids in the daycare found out that he was gay, freaked out, and then came for him, and then like accused him of being a Satanist.
I don't understand what the connection is.
I know.
Being gay is awesome.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Being queer is amazing. Also, being interested in whatever you want to be interested in is also awesome. I don't know why you have to go to the bad part of all of it.
I know.
And then connect the gays with the occult. Like, I don't understand. And you guys, like, again, if it sounds sensational, just give it a Goog.
Right.
Or back in the day, if they didn't have a Goog,
yeah,
pick up the phone and maybe say, doesn't this sound crazy, Susan? Karen, doesn't this sound nuts? Karen? Karen and Susan, get on the phone and share notes. It didn't happen. You love your gays.
Oh,
don't fight it.
Of course.
Karen and Susan have great hair because they're gays.
Of course. Well, actually, if we're talking about this, in the 80s, you know, they had bangs and a fucking perm. And their gay Salvatore is responsible for that shit.
Don't blame the Italians.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. Happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.
So just real quick, a reminder, the pediatrician who did the examination on the two girls who are accusing are four women.
Yeah, the pediatrician who said that there was evidence of sexual assault.
Dr. Kellogg.
Yeah.
Like the cereal. She said in her notes, possible satanic abuse.
She wrote that in her notes.
Wrote it in her notes,
guys.
Can
you imagine?
No, I cannot. So you know who also didn't buy it for a goddamn second?
Who, that Canadian?
Daryl Otto, who's like a research scientist. Not like, he's actually a research scientist from Canada.
7 years ago this month, I came across a story about four women who'd been accused of this bizarre sexual assault on two little girls in Texas. And I'd been doing some research on that type of crime. And this one just didn't make sense. And so I started doing research. And I came across a video in the library in the college where I teach about female sex offenders, more specifically women who offend against children.
So he tells us some cold hard facts.
Yeah. Yeah, because
you guys take notes. Get your pen, pencil, something to write on, yeah. Something to write with. Here we go. Only 5% of sex offenders are women.
That makes perfect sense. That actually sounds high to me, but uh-huh. Okay.
But even then, most of them are adult women with younger boys, which he calls like a teacher lover thing, which yeah. I'm like, oh, I don't want to hear that phrase ever again, even though Daryl, like, what yeah. you're doing is great.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
get our girls out of here, but like, I don't ever need to hear teacher lover
totally.
Ever again. But his point is, this does not fit a pattern.
No, because he also says that when there is an instance of a woman abusing a young child, she has severe mental illness. That's what the science tells us. And so what we're seeing with these four women does not fit any pattern. Like, this is just ringing all the garbage bells in his head.
Right. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to put pen to paper. I'm going to write these women.
And he's saying this could not have happened.
Took me a long time to understand everything. How did this get past the media? I mean, how did this get past the jury? How did this get past the appeals process? How did this get past their defense lawyers?
Also, he lives in the Yukon with sled dogs. Don't cut that.
I know.
That's really important. It's amazing. You know he's a good person, you guys. He's really just trying to do good for the world. Those sled dogs, and really, they just want to work. They're so good.
You and Ashley, my two favorite girls, you, Ashley from Crime Junkie, you honestly like dogs more than people.
I've never argued with you about this. So you guys, enter the Innocence Project of Texas.
Listen, I've got one note about this.
I know, you think he's so hot, right?
This guy from the Innocence Project, I put this note in the group. He's talking about the Innocence Project and like the 10,000 cases that they've been asked to look into. He's standing there holding a cup of coffee, looking like $1 million. This guy is fit for Jesus. He's got tattoos on his arms. And my notes just say, why does he have a shirt on? Next note, but seriously, how do we get a shirt off?
Ellipsis. What? And we learn that, like, not just your hottie is saying this.
Yeah.
But a couple of angry people. Jeff and Mark are other friends who are not interviewed with your hottie. What's his name?
I don't know. Who
it
knows?
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Who
he doesn't
cares?
Have a name. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look at that face. So the two that you're talking about are their lawyers.
Right.
They're the lawyers for the Innocence Project. And these guys are whip fucking smart.
Yeah.
And they have no goddamn time for your shit.
And they're saying, like,
if this was an easy case, someone would have snapped it up a long time ago, probably. If this was a case that involved DNA and just a DNA test, but it's a very difficult case without a magic bullet such as DNA. This is a case in which no crime at all occurred.
I hate everything now.
Me too, but I love that we're in Texas and this one lawyer says,
I look at these cases as a great chance to show a deeper, more persistent bias in the criminal justice system, a bias against gay people that I think we refuse to admit.
And he says, and he kind of says this as an aside, it's something that like Kathleen Zellner would say.
Totally, I thought that too.
He says a lot of lawyers jump into these cases thinking that because their client is innocent and their cause is just, they're going to win. And he's like, that is so far from the truth.
And he's like, if people only knew how little justice actually happened in the court system, we'd all throw ourselves off a cliff.
Yeah, he's like, you probably...
I mean, I'm paraphrasing, but...
Yeah, he's like, you'd probably amass at courthouses with lighted torches.
I was like, that sounds like a good idea. So tomorrow at noon?
I know. So we hear a phone call from one of the lawyers.
Oh my God.
Well, I know. We're here.
August 4th, 2012.
Yeah.
Hey, Deb. It's Mike Ware. It's Saturday morning, about 9:45. I just got off the phone from Stephanie. Jeff and I are talking about driving out to Houston tomorrow to talk to her. She's ready to make this right, get her aunt out of prison. It's all pretty exciting. Give me a call.
So Mike and Jeff, the lawyers, the anger lawyers from the Innocent Project, who I love. Like,
love,
I'm not saying
love,
angry
love.
In a bad way. It's just like, girl, we need your anger.
Yeah.
They meet with Stephanie. Stephanie, one of the accusers who testified on the stand all this crazy shit that never happened.
She was the younger one. She was like the 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's all grown up now, and she has some shit to say. And then we see her. They're like in the coffee shop, and it's like, here she is, boys. Like, here she is. Like,
and the audio of this is awful, so it's hard to hear
like,
exactly what she
are
says.
Why at a crowded coffee shop?
Why the fucking and they're trying to record it too. It's
I know.
Not just our audio.
Why couldn't you have met her where we met you in the documentary?
Right.
Like, bring her to the Innocence Project.
Exactly.
Where,
like,
we... Why don't you start at the beginning? Or wherever you think is a reasonable place to start.
Okay, so me and my sister had dolls, you know, Barbie dolls. We're young, we're stupid, we're gonna experiment, we're gonna see what you show us. you know, and my grandma caught us. And they locked us in a room. They sat there for, I don't know, what seemed like forever. Like, what happened there? What happened there? You know something happened there. Yes, you know something happened there, which nothing happened. And we told them nothing happened, nothing happened, nothing happened.
I don't fully understand the story that she tells.
I had to Google it because I rewound this a bunch of times.
Okay, then you explain it.
So Stephanie was saying that she and her sister were playing with Barbie dolls.
Uh-huh.
And she says, I don't know if it's the editing or her storytelling.
I didn't understand this.
But she's like, you know, we were young and stupid and experimenting and we were caught.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm not clear on what this means.
Right. But whatever they were caught doing, their grandmother was super mad about it.
They were locked in a room.
Yeah.
And their grandmother and their father, Javier, was like, what the fuck happened? You were at Liz's a couple days ago with all those lesbians. This is where you learn this. Now, I rewound this way too many times. I asked Super Hot Husband Mike about it.
Yeah.
He didn't know. I Googled it.
I looked at it. I was like, I don't know what's happening.
But what happens later is that one of the guys from the Innocence Project kind of clears it up. What they were doing was sort of just like making their Barbie dolls have sex with each other and experimenting in that way.
Oh.
It was not at all clear.
No, yeah.
But what she's saying, like, we were young and stupid and experimenting and we were caught.
Right.
Sounds a lot worse than like a
yes.
couple hot naked Barbies. So they like locked them in the closet and they forced them to say, they were like, hey, where did you learn that? And they were like, I don't know, we're kids.
It was the grandmother and their father yelling at them.
Right.
Basically inventing a story.
Right. These are the seeds planted about how Javier is a piece of shit.
But I've come to him in the past and I've told him that I don't remember anything happening to me. And he says it did. You're stupid. You don't know. You don't know anything. And I said, I do remember. I said, I asked him, I said, Holly, but I remember all the good things she's put me through, but never the bad things. And he says that I'm crazy. Because I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just crazy.
So you guys, like, we're kind of off and running here.
Yeah.
Because suddenly it's like the ADA is letting the Innocence Project look at all their files.
So the people who put the women away are now being like, no, 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 we're here for this. And even the lawyers for the Innocence Project are like, they're being really cooperative.
Yeah, even the on-screen text is like, shockingly.
Yeah. I think what's happening is that the world has changed. I think that, like, if you review this case, you're like, oh my God, we put these women away for being lesbians.
Yeah.
We don't hate that so much anymore.
But what's interesting is that so the parole board approves Anna's release.
Yeah.
Which is shocking and just kind of comes out of nowhere to everybody.
Because you're thinking like, oh, she's getting out because the niece came forward and said that it didn't happen. That's not what's happening
but
here.
But Anna is not the aunt.
Right.
Liz is the aunt.
Right, exactly.
So it's like, why Anna?
Well, we find out that Cassie's been acting out. So if there's any good behavior time, Cassie's not getting that.
Sure.
Anna might have just been on her best behavior, so she would have been the most eligible.
Right.
And it's also like Anna feels this incredible guilt.
Last night, I got the official notice that I made parole. How can it be? I had my mind set on doing 2 more years, and now it's 2 months. I have a lot of questions about this. Why did I make parole? My heart hurts when I think of Cass, Liz, and Chris. I don't want to leave them behind. It doesn't feel right. Why should I be the one to leave? Cass and Liz have children. Haven't they suffered enough?
So now we're at Anna's house, and like the mom and like Anna's sister-in-law, who we've never met before.
They're like getting the whole house ready for her.
And the sister-in-law is so excited. It's very sweet.
And I haven't seen her where I can be able to hug her because she's been behind the glass. So I'm going to finally get to hug her, and I'm like, not going to let her go.
Okay, you're taking the blankets for her?
Yes.
In case she gets cold?
Yes.
Okay. So we're taking the blankets. I got everything in the car.
They're driving to the prison to pick up Anna. And, like, you're seeing Anna be walked out. They literally walk her to the gate of the prison, and they're like, bye.
And just like that, she's out of prison and in the real world.
She's in that car for 1 minute before she is hysterical in her mother's lap.
In her mother's arms.
Yeah.
I just say in my notes, this car reunion, I can't.
I know.
But you know, you could see it on her face. And this is why I love Anna so much. You could see it on her face, like, I'm out here, but like, I'm not going to like have a real life until everyone else is
right,
out.
Right, exactly.
You could tell the minute she's like, she's tasting that air, she's chewing that gum, and she's having her moment, and God bless her, she should.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh, I'm ready to fight. Like, you could kind of hear this like rally cry in her head. Like,
totally.
She's ready to go.
There are 3 other women behind bars.
And I don't feel complete without them until they're home and we get exoneration of this.
You guys, we meet Javier. Should we do a slow bell or like a just... let me tell you, I don't know if it's a garbage bell for me. He does not look like what I thought he was going to look like.
No, I know.
He looks like a schlubby guy. He looks like a guy who still in 2019 has like that beeper holder. And like the earpiece for his phone. And even when we see him in 2015 or whatever it is, he has like that briefcase. So it's like, why do you fucking have a briefcase,
I know. So we get this interview with Javier.
Like, to camera. Like, this bitch agrees to be like, yeah, no, I'll sit and talk with you.
And again, I don't know what he's talking. He's talking shit about Stephanie.
I feel like you have something to hide.
No. Nothing at all.
Do you have something to fear?
No. And this is what I tell Stephanie. Stephanie, whatever it is you're going to do, do it more quickly. That's what I say to Stephanie. But understand, Stephanie, that when you do this, you got to remember what you're going to do and what's going to come to be. You're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to live with it.
You got to remember, Stephanie, you know, you have to remember what's going to go on. And then when you remember, and then when that thing comes to be, you have to remember what that means. And remember, that's what I told her. And so I told her, you just, you know, it's just my hands are clean. And I just told her she's got to remember. And I don't remember what I told her to remember. But I just, you have to remember, Stephanie, that if you remember, they'll remember. And they're going to remember.
So now we meet Mary Burdett, who I think that she's a social worker.
Yeah, she's like hired by the Innocence Project of Texas to investigate the case.
Yeah, so she's telling us like, yeah, this Javier character, he's a little sketchy.
Well, here's what I love about Mary. No time for your shit. She like suddenly is like at a diner with Serafina, the grandmother.
Right, exactly.
Who also was like in all the paperwork, like the grandmother who locked them in the closet, who was like, all these lesbians did this horrible stuff to
right,
you.
Right, exactly.
So Mary is trying to, not gotcha, Serafina necessarily, but just get her to tell the truth. So maybe gotcha,
right,
because she lied the first time.
Yeah.
You know, I spent several hours with Javier. He says he doesn't know what happened to his daughters. They never told him. I didn't hear anything. They never told me anything. My mom and I never discussed it. I didn't hear a word at the trial, he said. I wasn't there. I had to sit in another room.
Mary Beth is trying to get to the bottom of, like, did Javier and the grandmother, Serafina, feed these girls a story to then tell to the police or whatever? Or did the girls really suffer this experience and told the true story?
Right.
And Serafina and Javier are just trying to not get in trouble now that one of the girls has spoken out.
Right.
So he's saying, like, I didn't tell them anything. I didn't even ask them any questions. I called the police. The police told me to take them to the doctor.
But his reasoning is so weird.
Yes.
Because he's like,
I wanted to remain fair and impartial to everything. I didn't want people to say, well, this is what you said to them. I did nothing other than take them to where I was instructed. They did the interviewing. They did the questioning.
But when you cut to his original statement to the police, they highlight, I asked.
And then I said, and then she said, yeah.
Javier fed them a fucking story. And he knows he's busted now.
Right.
Like, the other axe to grind he had with these women, remember that he had written letters to Liz when she was, like, a kid.
Oh, a teenager?
A teenager. And, right, and she'd rebuffed him and been like, I'm not that into you.
And also her, like, niece-in-law or whatever.
Right, exactly. And so Liz's mother has the original letters, and she tells the story about confronting him, and he's just like, it wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking. I didn't write those letters. That's
not
me.
These letters just appeared out of nowhere, out of goddamn thin air.
Right.
And it is a mystery. And it's you got to remember when it's a mystery. And it's like, who are you? I mean, actually, he might as well be standing up and walking in circles as right, he's talking, because I'm like, girl, you just got to chase those words. Like, what
it's
are
true,
you saying? They didn't just appear. He's like, my sweet angel, Javier Limon, like his full name. It's awful. It's so,
so
disgusting.
Gross.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cashback and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cashback sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cashback. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N, Rakuten.com.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Can we just go back to this junk science real quick and
yes.
then wrap it up? Because I can't. So what we're learning now from our friends at the Innocent Project and Debbie is like back in the day, people like Dr. Nancy Kellogg.
She was one that said there was evidence of sexual assault.
And satanic panic.
And satanic abuse. She wrote that in her notes.
Kellogg as in cereal wrote right. in her scientific notes. And Satan was at work. Like,
right.
Bitch, are you kidding me?
I know.
When they would examine a child who was accusing someone of sexual assault, they would always study it against this like perfect pristine model of what, and it sounds creepy to say, but like what a pristine child's genitalia should look like. But science, of course, has evolved, and it's like no, like it that's not it. Like just because something was off a little bit doesn't mean sexual assault and or Satan had a hand in any of it.
Right, because our friend Dr. Debbie. I'm assuming she's a doctor.
Yeah.
Maybe she's not. Whatever. Author Debbie.
Queen Debbie. Whoever.
Right. She's saying that like over the years they've examined thousands of young girls. It's not uniform. And we now know that what the pediatrician saw on these two girls in this case was not a sign of sexual assault. And this Dr. Kellogg actually impeaches herself.
She recants.
Yeah. By signing an affidavit saying I was wrong.
And good for her.
Yeah.
Honestly. And so then it's like. Breaking news, the remaining three of the San Antonio Four have filed motions about the new evidence and affidavit. And then we get like cut to Anna at the diner with her new girlfriend, Denise.
I know.
Hey guys, hope you're doing well. If you're not, good for you, whatever. And then it's suddenly like, again, like the anti-making a murderer. It's like a couple weeks later, like Anna walks Cassie, Liz, and Christy out of prison.
This was like moment four of me face down on the desk sobbing.
I mean, it is to see them all like holding hands together.
Yeah.
And meeting, like, I mean, Cassie's like, I'm your grandmother. I mean, meeting
I know.
Their family, clutching their parents,
it's,
clutching
it's,
each other.
It's also just amazing the way that these women have all stayed friends.
Yes.
Over the years.
Without communicating.
Without communicating. But then... We get this. We get like a solid 10 minutes of the reality show
of them, these, like playing pool.
These four lesbians just out in the world drinking beer, playing pool,
out and about, and they're like, "We want to get exonerated, but first we got to hang for a little bit," because they truly were each other's chosen family.
They
and
were.
It's so beautiful that like they really did pick up right where they left off,
and they all look and remind me so much of the lesbians I grew up with. It's
yes.
just I'm watching them. They're like at this gay bar playing pool. Then we find out that Christy and Anna. Are like suddenly in a relationship
and like super bickery, which I'm so there for.
Well, it's like the filmmaker like corners them and it's like, what's it like to be in a relationship?
We ended up being in a relationship.
How was that?
Well, it was kind of weird at first, right? Well, actually, we fought it, right? A little bit. I don't know, Christina.
Why is it always going
to
be on me?
Because I've been talking about it all. Your view has to be seen too.
No, I don't think it was weird.
And I'm like, wait, did they hook up in prison? Because the way, like, Chrissy's like, well, it was forbidden at first. But,
right.
like, the first time was really intimate. I was like, what, in the shower?
I know. I know. And it's amazing because they are, Anna's trying to get Chrissy to agree that it's weird. And, like, they tried to not do it. And Chrissy's like, no, I'm super into this.
Yeah, and she's like, you should probably have a say in our story.
Right,
like,
totally.
It's so adorably bickery.
It is. I texted you. I was like, I'm totally down for the Chrissy-Anna reality show that's happening in the last 20 minutes.
And then I was like, no. I know the whole thing where it's like, no, you should. No, I will. Okay, right. You should. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Like, I'm upset. Like, that's what a real marriage is, by the way.
100%.
Just like, should I? Are you gonna?
Don't forget about Zola, you guys.
Yeah. Well, can you for once in your life? Well, I do all the time. Well, can you do it finally? I mean, the cameras are here. That's
right.
Marriage, everybody.
Totally.
So then the whole point is like, yeah, this is all fun and games. We want to get exonerated.
Yeah.
Guess what, guys? No spoilers.
They get exonerated. They go in front of this same judge that they had been in front of when they got, like, sentenced or whatever.
Yeah.
We learned that there are three ways that this can go.
They can be found actually innocent, which is exoneration, a judicial finding of actual innocence. The court can find that there, for whatever reason, is not enough evidence of actual innocence, but they could find that they are still entitled to a new trial because they had an unfair trial. And of course, the third possibility in the universe of possibilities is that they could be denied all relief and have to return to prison to finish out their sentences.
And so this judge finds that, like, though they were treated badly, there wasn't enough evidence to exonerate them completely. I know, ding him, give him a ding. But he says, you know, that they do deserve a new trial, which is a big bummer.
Yeah, it's not what I wanted to hear. When we heard, it's like junk science, the Innocence Project, like, Stephanie recanted. It's like, are you fucking kidding me, girl?
I know. But you know what? It gets bumped up a notch to the next, like, higher court.
Right.
This movie ended too abruptly. If I'm being honest.
Totally.
But we get all of a sudden this on-screen text.
Yeah.
And they get, like, to the shock of everybody, they're fully exonerated.
I say in my notes, guess what? The Criminal Court of Appeals says they are fully innocent. They're totally exonerated.
And this is where I'm going to play the West Wing music underneath it because I didn't for 54. The text from the opinion says, those defendants have won the right to proclaim to the citizens of Texas that they did not commit a crime, that they are innocent, that they deserve to be exonerated. These women have carried that burden. They are innocent. And they are exonerated. This court grants them the relief they seek. They are exonerated.
They are exonerated.
We never get that. But
never.
Also, then the movie's just over. Like, we don't find out what happened to fucking Javier.
Look, Javier should be in prison for bullying people. Like, obstruction of justice. I don't know what the term is, but, like, he should be, I don't know, punished for something.
I totally agree. I just want to know, like, we don't even see their reaction
right.
to the court's opinion.
Totally.
We don't get 5 more minutes with Anna?
I mean, I'm here for that reality show, Andy. At Andy Bravo. I think he's just at Andy. Come on, Bravo. Come on, Bravo. What are you doing? Enough with the housewives. Let's get the San Antonio 4 on here.
We did it. Listen, I really, like, 90% love the movie. I wanted 5 more minutes.
I mean, you never say that.
I know.
So.
I know. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. It was super emotional. I loved these women. I was heartbroken and horrified by so many things. But then by the end of it, you know, you're slow clapping to the West Wing and you're just like,
I know.
Yes. And
they were exonerated. I want to know where they are. I want to know what became of them. Like, I just want, like, the sequel.
Yeah. Someone call us.
I know. You guys, come see us live at our Pride show in June.
Yeah, speaking of.
Oh my God, there's so much gay stuff lately.
Oh my God.
So excited.
I mean, here for it.
June 29th, Saturday, the 50th anniversary of Stonewall. Mm-hmm. It's going to be our best show ever. 600-seat theater, girl.
I mean,
come meet your fellow TCO fans. Meet our drag queens that are going to be hanging out. Come see our comic. It's going to be the best. Come on the Pride tours that day. I'm so excited for
it. Yeah, and it's the anniversary to the day, everybody.
I
really want to stress that. I feel like we haven't been stressing that enough. Check out our Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/truecrimeobsessed or go to truecrimeobsessed.com and then click on the Patreon link.
Yep.
We have so much here for you. For $5, you get, oh my God, 20 episodes of Making a Murderer. The first season of Serial. The Jinx.
The Staircase. All of our first two full bonus episodes of, like, Madonna Sugar Dare, The Queen of Versailles.
Yeah, a bunch of, like, hangout fun bonus episodes with us.
Our live shows?
Our live shows, the videos of them.
Yes.
Cool. And then ad-free stuff from Ted Bundy Tapes on.
Yeah.
And Lorena coming up soon.
Lorena is our very next thing we're covering on Patreon. You guys, just a reminder, we're running our very first contest ever. We're giving away our original garbage bell.
The OG. I'm going to be sad to see
I
her
know,
go,
same.
But
she needs to go to a good home. She's
I know.
Tired.
I'm happy to send her up to the farm. I'm happy.
Yes. You guys, go to iTunes, review us 5 stars, write at least one sentence about what you love about our show.
Mm-hmm.
On May 17th, we're going to gather our top 100 favorite reviews. We're going to pull a name out of a hat.
Yeah.
If you've already reviewed us on iTunes, just make sure you have your Twitter or Insta handle so we can find you.
Yeah, we have to be able to get in contact with you, girl.
Yeah, and if you've already reviewed us, just go back and edit it. Add your Twitter or Insta handle.
Yeah.
And if you're not on iTunes, fear not. This is just our first of very, very, very many
No, don't worry. We're here for everybody, so don't worry.
You guys, I am so excited to tell you what we're doing next. We are doing Oxygen's The Disappearance of Maura Murray.
Okay, so how are we? So explain to me again how we're going to do this.
So you can see all of the episodes for free on Oxygen.com. You can watch it for free. You don't have to pay a dime. Mm-hmm. It's 6 episodes. We are going to do it in 2 episodes.
Okay.
Back to back.
Okay. So 3 episodes.
Per 1 episode of TCO.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. It's good. You guys, I'm obsessed. Everyone's obsessed with Maura Murray. It's going to be so great. I'm so excited.
Okay. I can't wait.
You guys, our palate cleanser is going to be celebrating the lesbians.
Yay!
The prom or fun home? I haven't decided yet.
Oh, okay.
We'll see when we get there.
Yeah. And also at Ted and Michael for Super Hot Husband Mike's super funny and weird new podcast.
Yes.
Go find it, you guys.
You guys, I'm obsessed with you. Stay tuned for our outtakes. Stay tuned for the trailer for the Maura Murray doc. And stay tuned for our palate cleanser.
I mean, I'm going to be here. I don't know if anyone's going to join me.
We love you.
Bye. Love you.
Bye.
We don't know where she is. We don't know where she was going. And we don't know what happened to her.
UMass college student hasn't been seen since she crashed on Route 112 in Woodsville. A witness saw her walking away from the accident.
She was going to graduate into a nursing career.
She was a role model for me. Such a driven individual.
She didn't deserve any harm.
Where is Maura Murray? What happened to her?
How does a person disappear when there's 3 people watching?
Do you wish you had come back?
Sometimes I think that I may have disappeared too.
Fred, what do you think happened to Maura?
Guy grabbed her and killed her.
It makes you think that this is a serial killer.
I think Maura found out she was pregnant.
I'd like to think maybe she escaped. She wanted to start her new life somewhere.
Maura, we knew, was completely different than what's come up in all of these theories.
Sure enough, I started peeling back the layers, and I found all these secrets.
It sounded like she was crying, and she mentioned something about her sister. Why are you upset with the police?
I think they're hiding something.
None of the police contacted me, and I'm her sister.
You cannot trust anybody. Her family, policemen, people who were on the scene.
What did you do, mister?
You will become obsessed with this case. If you haven't already, you will.
This is a last-ditch attempt to solve this case. And I just want to find the truth.
Potentially, this could be the last piece of evidence that could help us link anything to Maura Murray's case.
I really think you can find her.
See her freeze? What's the longest time you ever sat for a stakeout? What the hell is this?
There he is.
That's him.
What's he running from? He f***ing knows.
Where is my daughter?
Just learning about the word heinous.
I know. Well, you say it's, like,
I said
it's a
one
U word.
Episode where you were like, girl, you need to stop saying that word. I don't know what episode it was, but I said it a lot. And you were like, we get it. You hate it. Where's my club? I say it to myself in the shower now.
Guys.
Where's my club? High kicking. It's amazing.
Can I tell you how boring my mom's life was?
God, you should be so lucky.
I know. I will tell you that my mother just did nothing but listen to Chris Williamson, like, read books about, like, the historical Jesus and burn patchouli. That's what my mom's lesbian life was like.
Your mom is such an amalgam of all the things.
I know.
I love that she was super gay.
Yeah, super religious.
Super hippie, but super was just like, I want to hear about Jesus.
My mom is obsessed with Jesus.
She was a scholar.
She was. She almost became an Episcopal priest.
You think I don't listen when we record? Can I just get a second opinion on the bananas?
Yes,
banana
but can we talk,
buffoonery that
can we
have
talk tomorrow?
Gone?
Alf is on.
Alf. Oh, Alf. Alf ate cats. And I'm a dog person, but like, we're going to sit down and be like, I can't speak to you right now about this other insane thing because Alf, who's an alien who
right.
eats cats, is on.
His real name was Gordon Shumway.
And I have to deal with that, but I can't deal with this other totally unrealistic thing.
Right. Yeah. No, not today, Karen.
You know who can't also deal with it? Our new best friend, Daryl Otto.
Otto,
Canada.
Inventor and Krauts had nothing to get very worked up about. As soon as Otto came on the screen, I was like, auto testing's been in my head all day now.
Yeah.
His inventions were failures, his future seemed bleak. He went to the opera at least twice a week. Dun 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 dun. Dun, dun.
Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Last night,
I got so excited. I was too enthusiastic. Thank you for not laughing. Well, you laughed a little bit at one point when I was touching you and said I might lose consciousness, which you said was adorable. And I just have to trust that you don't think I'm an idiot or some kind of an animal. I never lost control due to overwhelming lust, but I must say that I'm changing my major to Joan. I'm changing my major to sex with Joan. I'm changing my major to sex with Joan, with a minor in kissing Joan. Foreign study to Joan's inner thighs. A seminar on Joan's ass in her Levi's. And Joan's crazy brown eyes. Joan, I feel like Hercules. Oh God, that sounds ridiculous. Just keep on sleeping through this and I'll work on calming down. So by the time you've woken up, I'll be cool, I'll be collected, and I'll have found some dignity. But who needs dignity? 'Cause this is so much better. I'm radiating happiness. Will you stay here with me for the rest of the semester? We won't need any food. We'll live on sex alone. Sex with Joan. Writing a thesis on Joan. It's a cutting edge field and my mind is blown. I will gladly stay up every night to hone my compulsory skills with Joan. I will study my way down her spine, familiarize myself with her well-made outline while she researches mine. Don't know who I am. I've become someone new. Nothing I just did is anything I would do. Overnight, everything changed. I am not prepared. I'm dizzy, I'm nauseous, I'm shaky. I'm scared. Am I falling into nothingness or flying into something so sublime? I don't know, but I'm changing my major to Joan. I thought all my life I'd be all alone, but that was before I was lying prone in this dorm room bed with Joan. All sweaty and tangled up in my bedsheet, and my heart feels complete. Let's never leave this room. How about we stay here till finals? I'll go to school forever. I'll take out a dementedly huge high-interest loan. 'Cause I'm changing my major to Joan.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration.
Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.